So Jesus is hurling insults again. He does that occasionally in the Bible. He had already given it to the Pharisees just a couple chapters before in Luke 11. Listen to what he said. A Pharisee invited him to dine with him, so he went in and took the place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds, and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without realizing it." That wasn't nice, what he said. Woe to you is a serious insult. It doesn't just mean, "Oh, you poor Pharisees." It kind of means, well, it's about as offensive as dropping the F-bomb on the Pharisees and then saying that. So that you got to catch how insulting the language Jesus uses is toward the Pharisees. And then, so the Pharisees are angry at him, and now he's got Herod. This week's Bible reading, he called Herod a fox. Clever like a fox? No, probably not. Crazy like a fox? Maybe. Good looking like a fox? That slang didn't compute in Jesus' time, and it wasn't what he meant. Lowly, slinking, not a lion? Like a fox? Yeah. That's where Jesus was going. You see, to call a leader a lion was what they would expect. King of the jungle, the proud, roaring lion. A fox is the one who would slink away, the one who would try to steal little things here and there. So Jesus was not paying any kind of respect to Herod. He was sending a message, actually, one that may or may not reach Herod through the Pharisees, that Herod was merely a weak excuse for a ruler who couldn't do anything without the emperor's okay. "You're nothing, Herod. Go and tell that fox for me." If the message did reach Herod, Jesus was in trouble. If it didn't, he was still in trouble. He just insulted someone the Pharisees thought was important. Message sent. I guess this is what Jesus' purpose was. But then, so after he's sent this insulting message, and you know, I don't condone insulting messages, and maybe Jesus could have found a better way, but I think he was going for the quickest way to get under the skin for what was to come next. But then comes this next part. It's equally as important in the Bible reading, not so much to the leaders who would hear later. It wasn't sending that message, but it was to the ones listening right now. Jesus went from prophet saying these words, and harsh words. He was prophetic in those. And then he went to pastor, kind and nurturing, just like that. He lamented. He spoke with anguish about Jerusalem. They had a puppet ruler, Herod. They didn't listen to God's prophets. They killed them instead. And he wished that he could gather them up like a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Not necessarily just to protect them from that slinking fox, but also to help them to experience what was truly important, this love and community. He used this beautiful feminine imagery, like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, to talk about love and community. But then he lamented that they weren't willing to do that. They were willing to be scattered where the fox could pick off all of them one by one, but not gathered under her wings. Gathering implies this willingness to be together for this common goal, to work together. You know, Bible scholars, preachers, we wonder about this passage, and of course all the others, but you know, some wonder if Jesus just wanted the brood to gather against the common enemy, the fox. And there is some of that in there, but it's so much more. Because if it was just to gather against a common enemy, do you think that he would use the warm, nurturing, loving, feminine imagery of a hen? If you're going to team up against a common enemy, there you would use a lion or an eagle. Those are good old testosterone, I mean Old Testament images, to build up confidence for the people to rise up with power and violence against a common enemy. And yeah, I meant to say testosterone because dudes do that. Let's rise up. Oh my goodness, I hear it so much right now in politics, in South Carolina, in Nevada, and of course everywhere. That's not the way that Jesus does things. Jesus wasn't and isn't the warrior who comes to wipe out the enemy and set things right. Jesus comes in care, in peace, nurturing and loving all. And Jesus' example reminds us that God's love for all is extraordinarily patient. It reminds us that coming together and living out unconditional love is the plan. Hunkering down and planning a stealth attack or an all-out offensive or anything to do with takeover is not the plan. So, how are we supposed to gather? Be together, not against a common enemy, but for a common good, like planting seeds and nurturing those plants and growing them. I have said before the words that came out of a seventh grade student several years ago when I was leading a youth group. Those words were, if we love our enemies, how are they enemies? And in a nutshell, that covers it. Gathered together, as a hen gathers her brood together under her wings, not against enemies, but for a common good. So, what are we gathered for? In church, we're gathered for worship. We're gathered to be filled with God's Spirit so that when we go out. But what are we gathered for in general? I mean, or how about some specific things? We can be gathered for helping those in need. Gathered for comforting those who have suffered loss. Gathered for feeding the hungry, for being merciful, for advocating for peace, advocating for justice, showing extraordinary hospitality, living unconditional love. Or even more specifically, how about getting involved in organizations and projects and events that make our world better, like next Sunday? The Solidarity Campaign kickoff put together by our partner DuPage United. That's from 3:30 to 5:30. It's in Addison at Shalimar Banquets. And it's about standing for love and standing against hate rhetoric that's so rampant. After church, after you shake my hand, go right over to the table, sign the cards, and sign up to go with us next week to DuPage United in the afternoon. Look, I know that Jesus did not have kind words for Herod or the Pharisees. But there is something about Herod and the Pharisees that we do have to remember, that they were not outside God's love. God's unconditional love. How can you be outside of God's unconditional love? You can't be. No one can be. Now, Herod and the Pharisees didn't show good examples of living out that love, to be sure. How often, while we know that we are not outside of God's unconditional love, do we do things that aren't good examples of it? Well, through Jesus' teaching, through his healing, life, death, and resurrection, we learn how he wants us to be gathered, not against a common enemy, but for the common good. Jesus calls us, Jesus gathers us, Jesus invites us to be gathered as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Amen.